Okay, so here's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. Entitlement. You say, what does that mean? Good question. I'm so glad you asked. Here's what entitlement means. It means the belief that oneself is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. You say, what does that have to do with us? Well, I'm not going to stand up here and talk down to you like you all have an entitlement problem, teenagers have an entitlement problem. No, it's not what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is entitlement is a very real thing in our culture, okay? And we all deal with it to one degree or another. I have an entitlement problem. You have an entitlement problem. Your sponsors, to one degree or another, probably have an entitlement problem. You say, why? What is that? Well, basically, it's the idea you deserve something just because you're you. Now, let's be clear. God, in his infinite creativity, did create each of us different from other people, which is really cool, okay? But he did that, not us, right? He did that. I think if we're honest, we would all admit that this is an attitude that's prominent in our society today. And again, it's not a generational thing. It's not with a certain group or social class. It's a human issue. Somewhere in our minds, we develop the idea that we're owed certain things, okay? Somehow we're so important, we should benefit from others around us. Now, what are some things people often think they're entitled to? Well, good health. You know, I'm entitled to live a healthy life, okay? Maybe money, finances. I'm entitled to have enough money. Time to relax. Okay, I'm entitled to be able to have some me time, to be entertained. We're entitled to entertainment, right? Someone takes that away, you say, what's your problem? I'm entitled to that. I deserve that. Food. Maybe some of you think you're entitled to a family that loves you. Maybe justice. We're entitled to justice. Well, a lot of times we feel entitled to justice when we've been wronged. And that's really the only time we feel that. But really, this attitude is on display in our society. How? Well, we see people complain when they don't get certain things they think they deserve, right? I think we can all agree that we see that. We're all guilty of that from time to time. We see people even take other people to court, okay? You wronged me, so I'm entitled to some compensation for that. You owe me this. So oftentimes we see behaviors rewarded just so they're not left out, right? I deserve to be recognized even though I had really nothing to do with the outcome, okay? It's an attitude that we have that we're owed something. And guess what? It comes from having a man-centered approach to life. The argument goes something like this. If humans are the highest beings that there are, then everything else exists to serve humans, okay? Man's the highest, man gets to make the rules. Makes sense, right? Now, if you buy into this, the problem then becomes which person gets to make them. There's a lot of different people out there with a lot of different ideas of what's right and what's wrong, right? The President of the United States has some ideas. The leader of the United Nations, okay? Leaders in the Middle East, all over the world, all over the globe, there are different people with different ideas of right and wrong. And we see that if we let people make the rules, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict. We see this in our political arena here in the U.S. There are multiple sides that tend to see things very differently on almost every issue. So who gets to make the rules? As you can see, this leads down a pretty dangerous road, right? Where there are lots of people doing different things, having different viewpoints on how life works. So essentially what society's come up with is to try and solve that problem is by saying that each person gets to make the rules for them. Okay, that way, there's never conflict. Ha, that doesn't work either. Okay, that idea is called postmodernism. Okay, and you say, what is that? What's with all the terms? Okay, this is the last big term for the day, I promise. It's the idea that interpretation is left open to each individual for themselves. Basically, in other words, what's right for me may be right for me, but it might not be right for you. Okay, you live by your rules, I'll live by my rules, and we'll all live in peace and harmony. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, let's pretend. You and me are both hungry. How many of you are hungry? That's a problem. We just had lunch. Okay, let's pretend you and me are both hungry, and we walk into the kitchen at the exact same time, and there's one piece of pizza left. How many of you like pizza? Good. Cool. I love pizza. It never gets old. Okay, there's one piece of pizza left, and according to my rules, whenever I'm hungry, I get to eat. But according to your rules, whenever you're hungry, you get to eat. Okay? There's going to be an issue, right? I play by my rules. I don't worry about yours. You don't worry about mine. Okay, so I just go up and I eat the piece of pizza. Well, we've got a problem now, don't we? We've got an argument. Because I want something that you want, And we both think we're right. Here's the point. If people are left to themselves to decide what is best, they will inherently only care about themselves because humans are selfish. Okay, we know this, but we'll prove it to you from God's word. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2 says this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Philippians 2, 21 says this. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Okay, so man, if left to himself, serves himself. Man is selfish, and apart from God, he'll always seek his own way. Humans do what's best for themselves, right? We see this. We know this to be true. So to avoid potential chaos, we need someone over us instructing us how to live. How do we combat against this entitlement mindset that's in our culture today, in our society? Well, we need to know who's in charge. Okay, we need to know who makes the rules. So let's start at the beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, if we kept reading in Genesis chapter 1, we'd see that God created day and night, light and darkness, waters, land, plants, animals, all kinds of things, okay? Eventually, in verses 26 and 27, it says this, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So, God created man. In chapter 2, we see he created woman, but he didn't stop there. Okay, he didn't just create us. Okay, God didn't just create, nature, create the world, create humans, okay, and then let it go, let it do its own thing. No, he's intricately involved. He knows all about it. He knows all about you. Okay, in Jeremiah 1:5, God says, talking about the prophet Jeremiah, he says specifically this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So God has known about you forever. In eternity past, he's been thinking about you. He directly formed Jeremiah before he was born, and he did the same thing for you. God created you, and God owns you, since he's the creator. Okay? So, how many of you teens have your own car? Campers, anybody have your own car? Sweet. Now, how many of you have your own car that you paid for with your money? It was not gifted to you. You bought it. Awesome. Okay, great. For the rest of you, let's pretend, okay? You'll get there one day, all right? Okay, so let's pretend you own your own car. Now, it's not a brand new Corvette or anything super sweet or anything, okay, but it's yours. Okay, it's new to you. It might not be a new model, but you keep it nice. You know, you don't just trash it. You don't just run into things, okay? You keep it nice. You keep it neat, okay? But one day, let's say the battery dies and you really got to be somewhere. So you don't have time to switch out the battery. You just got to go. So you walk over to your friend's house. You say, hey, man, can I borrow your car just this one time? I'll bring it back. No problem. He says, sure. So he throws you the keys. You get in and you start to notice, man, things are falling apart in your friend's car, okay? Paint's chipped. Maybe the lights are out. You open up the door, and it's just trash inside. There's wrappers from every fast food chain imaginable just all over the place. Maybe the ceiling is kind of falling down, you know, sometimes like the ceiling carpet, whatever that's called. I don't know what that's called. It's like falling down. The windows don't go down, or maybe they go down, but they don't go back up. That's a problem, right? Okay, so you're like, hey, you know what? It's fine. It's not my car. It's cool. Whatever. So you do your you run your errands. You come back. You hand them the car back. No big deal, okay? Well, now let's pretend your friend one day says, hey, man, I'm having some issues with my car. You say, you think? So he says, well, hey, can I borrow yours? You say, sure, no problem. So you hand him the keys to your car. Now, he goes off for a few hours, and he comes back, and you hardly recognize it. Okay, you're like, it's scraping up the driveway, but, I mean, the paint is chipped in places it wasn't. There are dents. There are bumps. You open it up, there's garbage everywhere. You're like, how did you accumulate this much garbage in just a couple hours? How did you do that? Everything's broken. Things aren't working. It's barely moving. And you're like, dude, what'd you do to my car? Why'd you trash my car? And he says, no. Don't worry about it. I treat your car just like I treat my car. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because he doesn't own the car. He doesn't get to make the rules for your car, right? It's yours. You own it. Okay, the one who owns the car should be the one who sets the rules. Okay, it makes sense. Since God created us, he's the one who decides what we do or do not deserve. It makes sense. We play by his rules, not our own. So what does he say? Well, God says in Romans 3 that all are sinners. Okay, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, what does that mean? We've broken God's law. We all know this. Okay, we know that. We're sinners. We agree with that. Okay, you say, okay, I'm a sinner. What does that mean? Well, sin deserves death. There's a penalty for sin in Romans chapter 6. The wages of sin is death. You say, what does that mean? It means because you've sinned, because you've broken God's law, guess what the price tag is? Death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. So we see that what we deserve, what we are entitled to, is death in a place called hell. That's what we're entitled to. That's a pretty bleak picture. Okay, but that's where we are apart from Christ. Once we begin to understand who we are as sinners and that God owns us and we play by God's rules, we begin to come to an understanding of what we truly deserve. Thankfully, God in His mercy didn't leave us there, did He? Psalm 103 verse 10 says this, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Thankfully, in God's mercy and grace, He's decided to offer us much more than we'll ever deserve. In spite of our sin, God sent Christ to pay for our sin, okay, so that we could live forever with Him. If you believe Jesus died and rose from the dead and you've repented of your sin and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone, you've been given the greatest gift anyone could ever be given. So you ask, what does that have to do with entitlement? Well, when we understand what we've been given is exceedingly, infinitely better than what we deserve, our attitude should shift. Okay? Our attitude should shift from entitlement. You know, look at all these things I don't have that I deserve. It should shift from that to an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness that says, look at what I've been given. I've been given so much, God, because I deserve nothing but death, and you've instead graciously given me life. I want to live a life of thankfulness to you. So the cure for entitlement is, of course, the gospel. The cure for the entitlement mindset is the gospel. Knowing what Jesus did and what we deserved, that's the cure. And the right response is thankfulness. Okay? Thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It means your circumstances don't determine your attitude, right? It says, "In everything give thanks." Okay? That's a lot of things. In fact, that's everything, right? You say, well, what about when my favorite team just loses in the championship game? Okay. that's a pretty weak example, but we'll go there anyway, okay? Be thankful. Okay, how many of you like college basketball? College basketball, anybody? A few of you? Do we have any Duke fans out there? Duke fans? We've always got some Duke fans. Do we have any UNC fans? UNC fans? Okay, a few. How many Pitt fans? Really? Pitt? You and me. You and me, girl. No, doesn't matter. Okay? Usually there are zero Pitt fans. Why? Because Pitt stinks. Let me tell you a little bit about Pitt basketball. Guess how many games we won in conference play last year? Less than one. Yes. Off to a good start, okay? Be thankful you're not a Pitt basketball fan, okay? Be thankful for that. I'm thankful as a Pitt fan that there's next year, and probably the year after that, and probably a lot of years after that until we're actually good. That's what I'm thankful for, okay? But here's the point. Your circumstances do not determine your attitude, okay? When we meditate on what we've been given in Christ, we have no excuse. Gratitude knows no exceptions. It's not dependent on your favorite team or the weather or what's being served in the dining hall for lunch. Okay, we're to be thankful no matter what. Because even on your roughest day, on the hardest day, the most difficult circumstances, you're still far ahead of what you deserve if you're in Christ. Far ahead. You say, how is this realistically possible? Well, we've talked about remembering what we truly deserve. That's hell. Eternity apart from God. We've each decided not to play by God's rules, instead live by our own fleshly wants and desires, and yet God has graciously offered us salvation. So the first step, of course, is to make sure you're a believer. That's step number one. Okay, this afternoon, if you're not sure about that, the rest of this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, if you're not a believer, then the attitude of, I'm just going to look out for me, that makes sense. If there is no God, you better live for today. Okay, but because there is a God, okay, that will change your focus. First step, make sure you're in Christ. Has there ever been a time where you've put your faith in Christ alone and chosen Jesus over your sin? If not, that's step number one. Believers, remember that Christ has rescued you from eternal destruction and instead given you an eternal relationship with Him. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. You say, how can I be thankful when my parents lose their job? You know, how can I be thankful when I lose a friend? How can I be thankful when someone I love finds out they have cancer? How am I supposed to be thankful for that? The book of Romans talks about this. In chapter 8, some verses that you probably know, maybe many of you have memorized, but they say this in Romans 8, 28 and 29, and we know that all things, that is all, everything, works together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But it goes on in verse 29, because we need to find out what that purpose is. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The reason we could be thankful, even in the midst of tough things, difficult things, is because we know that as God's children, He's working everything in our lives for good. That's what the verse says. You might say, how is disease good? You know, how is, you know, getting laid off your job, how is that good? Well, it depends on your definition of good, and that's true. You know, a lot of times as humans, we define good as whatever makes me feel happy. That's a good thing. I feel happy. So that must be good, right? That's not how God defines good. God defines good as anything that makes you more like Jesus Christ. That is a good thing. That is a good purpose. According to these verses, God allows difficult things into a believer's life, but they are meant to change us to be more like Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that the things in and of themselves are good, but it means they can have a good outcome in your life. The passage in Romans chapter 8 continues, and it talks about, I'll just read a couple verses. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, okay, was it a good thing when Jesus died? You say, yes, well, hold on. At the time, did that seem like a good thing? That seemed like a really hard thing, okay? But what did that do? Well, in the end, Jesus rose from the dead, okay, proving once again that He is God, and the purpose is good because it gives us a chance to know Him. It gives us a chance to be made more like Jesus Christ, okay? Hard things, tough things can serve a good purpose. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Okay? God has made it abundantly clear that He loves us, and as His children, nothing can separate us from that. Since God loves me and I deserve hell, I can be thankful for every single thing He brings into my life. Thankfulness looks at all the things that we've been given, whereas entitlement looks at the things we do not have. So shift your focus, teenager. Shift your focus. Think about the things you've been given in Christ. The gift of Christ causes us to view circumstances differently from the rest of the world. Okay, as a child of God, I can rejoice when I'm hurt, or left out, or forgotten, because I know that I have more than I could ever deserve in Christ, and I know that these circumstances are shaping me to be more like Him. Even though it might not be easy, might not be fun, but it's a good purpose. An unbeliever feels entitled because they do not understand that something much greater than all of their earthly wants and desires has already been offered to them in Jesus Christ. So, teenager, act like a child of God. Act like a child of God. Act like someone who's been given all they could ever want or need in Jesus Christ, because you have. You've been given everything. Don't act like the world that does not know Christ. Don't insist on your own way instead of someone else's. Don't think you deserve to have it better than you do. Instead, show the world there is something more by your thankfulness. Be thankful in all circumstances. What a great way to point other people to Christ, by the way. Okay, unbelievers, it doesn't make sense when someone is treated poorly or unfairly and they can respond in a gracious way. It doesn't make sense, okay? So, again, we'll go back to the illustration of if your parents are laid off of work, laid off their job, okay, maybe even unfairly, but they respond in a loving, kind way. That causes the world to ask questions, okay? You know, if I'm an unbeliever and someone does wrong by me, I'm going to blow up, okay? I'm going to let them have it. But if I see someone else respond in grace, in humility, I'm going to think, wow, what is different about them? What an opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ. What an opportunity to share the gospel. People need to see us as believers respond in gratitude all the time, whether life is going well or it's not. You know, it's really easy to be thankful when things are just great, okay? When you got everything you could possibly need, it's really easy to be thankful. The world is thankful when they get good things that they want, okay? But it's harder to be thankful when things are tough. By the way, there are probably some in here who are Christians, and you've just gotten used to the way life is here in America, okay? Maybe you come from a family that's been blessed financially, and you're just plain used to that. You have a lot to be thankful for. You have a lot to be thankful for. Express that gratitude to people around you. Don't think for one second you don't need to be thankful to your parents or your guardians, whoever that might be. They may work very hard to provide for you and take care of you, and that might just feel normal to you. I assure you, all across the world, that's not normal. That's not normal. I've had the opportunity to go on a few trips with our missions arm here at the Wilds called Camps Abroad. Camps Abroad, what they do is they take the camping philosophy, obviously incorporating God's Word, and take it to different countries and train the nationals there to run their own camps. And it's awesome. It's exciting to see God work. Okay, in the Philippines, that's probably my favorite place I've gone so far. I've only gone on a few, but in the Philippines, it's mostly a third world country, meaning they don't have a lot. They don't have a lot. Most of them live in huts, this kind of thing on the side of a mountain, things like that. And I'll tell you what, the believers in the Philippines, man, by and large, they seem more content with what they have than what we do here in America. By and large. Now I know that's stereotyping a little bit. Okay. You say, why is that? Well, because happiness, contentment, is not based on physical possession. Okay, it's found in knowing God. It's found in having Jesus Christ and realizing you've been given more than you could ever deserve. Maybe some of you don't come from much, okay? That's okay. You ought to be thankful as well. God's still giving you much more than you deserve. Remember, we deserve hell. That's what we deserve. That's what we are entitled to. You might say, Chris, you don't understand my situation. You're right. I probably don't. I have not been where many of you are. And I get that. Okay, life is tough. Life is hard. Maybe you don't know who your real parents are. Maybe you come from a really tough home. Maybe you come from a home where you try and do what's right. You try and please God, but all that you ever seem to get in return is hardship, difficulty. If you're in Christ, think of what you have. Think of what you have. Because Christ's gift has been offered to all regardless of your home situation, regardless of where you come from. Okay? It's been offered to you. If you're here in this room, it has been offered to you, and Jesus Christ wants you to be His child today. Think of what's ahead if you're a believer. Man, one day, no more sin. Okay? No more sickness, no more hardship, no more pain. We have a lot to be thankful for. Show Christ's love to others every single day, even in the small things, even in the normal, regular things. Okay? Show thankfulness. Fight against the culture of entitlement. Okay? Be thankful in the little things, the normal things. We used to travel on the ministry team here at the Wilds just for a few months. And when you travel, you eat out a lot. You eat a lot of fast food, which I'm great with. Okay? I've always thought that was cool. Like, I get to eat whatever I want on that menu. That's awesome. Okay? Now, most people, and again, I don't want to paint with a broad brush here, most people that work in fast food, that's not their dream job. Most people. Some of them it is, and they love it, and that's great. Thumbs up. Okay, but most of them are just trying to make ends meet, and I respect that. Okay, I respect anybody who's going to work hard to put food on the table for them, their family, okay? Thumbs up. Cool. The people on the ministry team would always laugh because I'd always try and have, like, a conversation with the person on the other side of you know, the microphone. You know, they're always like, hey, welcome to whatever burger. What do you want? And I'm like, hey, how's it going today? And they're like, what do you want? And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they don't want to talk. Well, you know, try and treat them like a human being, okay? I try to go out of your way to express thankfulness in things that seem normal. My point is here that we should never get to the place where we just expect certain things from people without the need to express our gratitude, without the need to treat them like who they are in Christ. As believers, we should go out of our way to show the love of Jesus, even in the everyday things, the small things, the normal things. I'm going to give you a couple applications, and then we'll be done, okay? We're already almost done. You guys have done great, by the way. You guys have done awesome. Okay, but a couple things for you to take home, okay? Number one, to fight against this culture of entitlement, okay? Number one, remember what you deserve. Okay, remember what you deserve. What do you deserve? Tell me. What do you deserve? As a sinner, you deserve hell. I deserve hell. I don't deserve any better than that. Okay? Eternity apart from God, that's truly more awful than any scenario any of us can ever come up with. Okay? The worst earthly scenario you can come up with does not compare to an eternity apart from God. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. Secondly, think about what you've been given in Christ. Let me encourage you to do this every single day. Now, I don't do it perfectly. I'm not going to stand up here as someone who says, man, I do this every day without fail. Now, sometimes I forget, but here's a practice I try and incorporate into my life as much as possible. Okay, I try and just stop and think about what Jesus went through for me. I try and think through the gospel, okay? You say, what is that? Well, Jesus came from heaven to earth, which by itself is a bigger gap than any of us have ever imagined. He came from heaven to earth. That's a monstrous step, okay? Now, when he was born, he wasn't born into this family of royalty or great possessions, anything like that. No, he was born into a humble family. He grew up. He lived a humble life, okay? No prestige, nothing like that. He proved that he was God, right? He did miracles. He taught. He spoke truth. He had compassion on the multitudes. Yet what did he get? He was crucified, okay? He was mocked. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. His blood was shed for us. He was separated from his Father for the time. He bore our wrath. He bore the wrath of God that we deserve. He took that upon himself so that you don't have to face that, okay? You don't have to face God's wrath. And then what did he do? He was buried and he rose again. I try and think through that every single day and think, God, man, you went through a lot to make it possible for me to be your child. The least I can do today is live in a way that pleases you. I can show thankfulness today for what you went through for me. God, help me to live that way. God, I'm not perfect, but I want to be more like Jesus Christ. Because of that work, I have a life that's filled with purpose and a future I can look forward to. Man, eternity with God, which is better than anything we can imagine. The best earthly scenario you can think of does not compare to what's ahead for you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. That should be exciting to you. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians 2:9 says this. But as it is, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Wow. No one has ever seen, heard, or imagined what God has prepared for you if you're a child of God. That is exciting. Think about what you have. I can't wait to find out what that is. Man, I can't wait to find out. Safe to say we have it much better than we deserve, don't we? Think about the blessings God has in store for his children. Let that motivate you to live a life of gratitude. Again, I don't do this perfectly, but I think it's helpful to be reminded every day of what we have in Christ. And of course, it goes without saying that you're only going to get to know God, get to understand what he did for you if you're in his word each and every day. Okay, that's why we have God and I time here at the Wilds. We want to incorporate that into your life. Get to know God by yourself. You can do that. You've been given God's word. Spend time with him. Get to know him. Thirdly, practice intentional thankfulness. Practice intentional thankfulness. Go out of your way to express your gratitude. I've got some specific people in mind, okay? I'm going to start naming names here, okay? Your parents or guardians. Chances are they do a lot more for you than you realize. Now, I understand that everyone here does not have parents who love God or would even be considered good parents. Thank them anyways whenever you have an opportunity. Show them the love of Christ through that, through your responses to them. Your sponsors who brought you here to camp, did you know a lot of them work a second job? Okay, some of them, you know, your youth pastor, maybe they work at the church all the time. They're not getting paid a lot, but they love you. They want to see God do a work in your heart, so they brought you here to camp. Some of your sponsors took a week off of work, of making money, to come here because they want to see God work in your heart here at camp. Some of them just can drive a bus, so they came here because they want to see God work in your heart here at camp. Thank them. Express gratitude to them. Your pastor. Almost always, a pastor does more than just preach, which, by the way, is a big job in and of itself, okay? Depending on the size of the church, they might be a part-time janitor. You name it, okay? They might do a lot more than you think. Express thankfulness. your teachers at school, okay? Anyone who takes their time to serve you. Like I was talking about the fast food, the drive-thru, the janitor, your counselor. Okay, I realize it's only Tuesday and you probably don't know them very well and you might still think they're weird. That's okay. Here's what I know about your counselors. Okay, here's what I know about them. They're not making a lot of money, okay, and they're working a lot of hours. Okay, they're basically on the clock 24/6, 6 out of 7 days. Okay, they get like one day off, and it's not even really a full day; it just kind of happens. Okay, they are here because they want to see God work in your life, and they want God to work in their own hearts, and they want to serve. Thank them. Thank God daily for what you have in Christ. Go to Him in prayer with a thankful heart, overwhelmed by the goodness that He has shown you. I'm sure there are many, many others we could talk about in your life, okay, that you can think of. Go out of your way to express your thankfulness to them. Fourthly, pray for God's help in this area. Ask God to grow you in this area. You're certainly not going to have an attitude of thankfulness without God's help. So depend on Him each and every day. Say, God, I want to grow. I'm not perfect. But Lord, help me not to have the mindset that I'm owed anything. Lord, I deserve hell. Lord, because I have Christ, help me to be thankful today. Ask God to change you. And lastly, fight against the culture. Don't just go along with the attitude that everybody else has. You know that's really, really easy. It's really, really easy to just do what everybody else does. That's simple. You blend in. It's simple. It takes zero courage. Okay? Have enough courage to be different. Don't get sucked into the mentality that you're owed anything because you are owed nothing. So challenge that philosophy of life. Be thankful instead of demanding. Tell others why they too can be thankful and hope and the hope that is offered to them in Jesus Christ. Be a person who helps spread the cure for the entitlement mindset. Demonstrate gratitude. Use it as a tool to point other people to Christ. I hope that's your prayer today. Let's close in prayer and we'll be finished. Father, we need you for this. Lord, I pray that you would challenge each and every heart in this room with this. Father, I pray that we would constantly be thinking on the things that we've been given because of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's so many blessings in Christ. Fellowship with you, other believers, Lord, a church, obviously an eternity with you. God, we're so thankful. God, I pray this would permeate our lives. Lord, help us to be a thankful people. Lord, help us not to get sucked into the mindset that we're owed anything good, God, because we deserve hell. Lord, I do pray if there's one in here this afternoon who has not accepted you, that even today would be the day of their salvation. God, you can do that. Give us faith to believe that, Lord, and we know you can. Give us a great afternoon. Now, help us have a good time in Christ's name. Amen.